While I'm clicking that Ozempic pen up to 36 clicks because I'm down to 0.5 milligrams this week, I thought I would tell you about the other shows that Charlene and I are involved in. Charlene has two other shows. One is called The Great Equalizer, a brilliant parenting podcast, and the other is TGE's Current Read. It's also with the same co-host, Sam Herbst, and it's a book review podcast. On my side, a travel series that I wrote has just been released. There are three episodes out at the time of recording, and it's a humorous travel guide to Australia called How Far Will You Travel Australia? I've included links in the show notes, or you can just search for The Great Equalizer, TGE's Current Read, or How Far Will You Travel? Enough advertising, let's get on with the show. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Ozempic Diaries. Today is the last episode of our first season. It's been 3 months. It's been 13 episodes and 12 weeks. And today we are catching up, wrapping up, figuring out what we've lost and what we've gained. And we're going to do some quick fire questions about this whole experience and try to answer every aspect of what this experience has been for us and what it's meant to us. So, Charlene, hey, how's it?
Hi, good. And you?
Yeah, good. We've both been in a public holiday frenzy the last couple of weeks and all that. How have you been in general? And then how have you been with weight loss and the Ozempic and everything?
I've been good. I managed to get to the gym last week, which I haven't in a couple of weeks. So it felt good to be working out, weightlifting. I'm a little bit stiff, but I generally feel more positive in my mindset when I'm moving my body. This is not something that's news to me, but you struggle to get to the gym and you feel lethargic and then you end up just ripping off the Band-Aid and going, and then you feel like, gosh, I actually feel so much better. So this past week was a good week. I've been feeling good. And I think also knowing that I've lost the weight that I have, I feel positive and accomplished. So it was a good week. How about you?
Awesome. Yeah, great. Actually, it's been a week in which I've really felt a lot of gratitude and appreciated what I've got, because we've had these public holidays. We've been having days with our son, Ben, and going on adventures. And it's been... And I've appreciated my newfound kind of health. And yesterday we were running along the beach and he said, wow, you're really fast. You can run really fast. And I haven't run with him on the beach before in his whole life, basically, because I've just felt like a galumping elephant and running sucked. And now it's much less of a thing. But yeah, the highlight being that I pulled out my old wetsuit. In the WhatsApp community, I described it as trying to fit into a python, and it was impossible. And now that I'm... since the beginning of the year, 13 kilos down, I did get into it. And I've spent the last 2 days surfing with my son on my back. He just goes like a little backpack on my shoulders. And we're using a surfboard as a bodyboard, but it's been phenomenal. It's been so cool to get back in the water. I've lived in Melkbosstrand on the coastline here outside of Cape Town for 5 years now, and I've never been surfing until this weekend. And I felt like it was such a game-changing, life-changing moment, because that's what this place is for. Ben's going to grow up. We've got this whole new world of things to do together. He loved it. He was like so stoked about it. He just wanted to go out surfing. But he cried when I said, okay, I can't carry on my shoulders anymore. I want to go out to catch a quick few waves by myself. You sit with mom. And he was like, but I'm going to miss you. And he's crying and stuff. But yeah, but it's been really good. And then also just we've been out for dinner. We've been out with friends and all that. And like fitting into old clothes, like feeling much better. And it's just been like really positive. Loved it.
Yeah, I think also not that you need to rely on people's reactions to your appearance, but I think it's very validating when people start noticing and saying, wow, you're looking so good. It just reinforces that feeling of I feel good and I'm able to do more. And it's just a gift. It really is just to be able to be mobile in your body, to be able to move your body, to be comfortable in your clothes. That's very freeing.
Yeah. To a very large degree, it feels like getting younger. You got more energy and more mobility, and you can wear more what you want, and you just don't feel like lumpish.
Yeah,
pretty amazing.
Not so restricted. Yeah, yeah.
Have you been getting a lot of positive comments?
Yeah, people have really been noticing. And I guess for the most part, my close group of friends and family, we're not really in the habit of commenting on people's bodies. Because it can be a difficult thing to comment on someone's body if you say they're looking good, if they're sensitive about their weight or their appearance, you might do more damage than good.
The whole world has changed that way.
It might be not, there's no malicious intent, but you might end up making the person just feel shit about themselves. So for the most part, people around me don't comment on each other's bodies, but I think because it has been quite a jarring difference, a lot of people have said, and I think I've also, because I've been open about the being on Ozempic and we've got this podcast, I think people feel more comfortable to have a conversation about it because it's not like it's a private matter to me, this weight loss journey that I'm on. I'm very vocal about my struggles with my hormones and how this whole thing came about. And so a lot of family, a lot of friends have commented. And then also on social media, people that I don't speak to so often have had quite strong reactions. Oh my gosh, Charlene, look at you. And I try not pay too much attention to it. I try not let it filter in and make me feel good about, oh, that's nice, because I know that there's a big reality or a chance that I could very easily put the weight that I've lost back on in the next 6 months, because life happens and you might not be able to stay on this new journey or be as disciplined as you'd like to. And I'm probably not going to be on this medication forever. And then I'm going to have to navigate that, as we briefly discussed in our last episode. But it is a nice feeling when people tell you you look good. You can't escape it. It is. I don't know. Have people noticed? How do you feel when they comment?
Yeah, we've got some close friends who have a standing joke every time they see me that I'm going to blow away in the wind and things like that. And then family and comments from other friends. Yeah, so they also, people do say that it takes about 3 months before people who see you irregularly will be quite, it'll be quite noticeable to them. So I think we have gotten essentially to that point. But yeah, as you say, I think the world has changed. I'm sure with your kids as well. But when I talk to Ben, the way they learn in school now is just don't comment on other people's bodies. It's not necessary. There's no, we don't want to say that's good or bad. Okay, so let's move on to final measurements and the wrap up. Let's start with you. Where did you start? What does the curve look like and where have you ended up today?
Okay, so I started on the 2nd of February. My first weigh-in was recorded as 86.9. I lost a lot initially, then I plateaued for a bit, and then I got into a rhythm of regular weight loss increments each week. My last 12-week in was yesterday morning, because I always weigh on a Monday morning early, and I ended on 76.7. which interestingly is the exact same number as my last week's weigh-in. So from last week to this week, I have not lost, but I am going into my menstrual phase of the month now, generally put on. So I'm grateful that I just stayed. But what I'm also grateful for is that the goal was 10 kilograms in 12 weeks, and that gives me a total of 10.2 kilogram loss in 12 weeks. So goal
amazing.
Achieved.
Yeah, that's so cool. 10.2 kilos. Yes. Very cool.
You had a big milestone as well in your numbers.
Yeah, so for me, roughly 90 is a good one, because beginning of the year, I was 102 kilos and now I am today 89. So I've lost 13 kilos since the beginning of the year and 9 kilos of that is on Ozempic. That brings my total loss up to 9 kilos. My goal was 10, so one below. We know from previous recordings that I had a couple of plateaus, quite frustrating, a couple of times where I wasn't sure whether it was working or whatever. But be that as it may, the results have come in. And I think 9 out of 10 kilos is perfectly fine. Very happy with that. And to then also have not just, because I've broken 90 before and then hovered and squeaked up and down, and it's been very annoying. But to get down to 89 is like, cool, now there's a trajectory there, which is cool. This last week, I lost 0.9 kilos. I went down from essentially 90 to 89.
Yeah, 89, yes. And you've been on the 1 milligram dose. So on Sunday night, what did you, are you tapering?
The taper has begun.
down?
Yeah. So on Sunday night, I took a 0.5 milligram. I've got essentially like one milligram dose in one of the pens. So I'm splitting it into two and I've taken one of those. And I haven't noticed any particular difference, but it's only Tuesday and we were out all of yesterday's. I know that the stuff like stays, there's a half-life to it. It takes a while to wear off. I don't feel massively hungry. Yesterday we were out a lot, so we ate at Deer Park Cafe and then we went up to Table Mountain. We had a snacky picnic and all that kind of thing. Hard to tell yet, but I am on half the dose. And yeah, the taper has begun, so we'll see what happens. And for the listeners, this is the end of season one, and how season two is going to work is that we're going to continue, but we're going to do a bi-monthly check-in instead of weekly. So every 2 weeks now, we'll have an episode where we catch up on the last 2 weeks and check in, both on Charlene's ongoing 0.5 treatment, and I'll be down to nothing in about 2 or 3 weeks, I think. I don't want to just cut it to zero. Let's taper. It makes more sense.
Yeah, I also want to just tell you, and this is something I've been toying with the idea and I didn't discuss it with you. So on Sunday night, I injected a 1 milligram dose. And the reason for this is, and I probably should have consulted with my doctor first, but I decided I'm just going to do it. I've been on the 5 milligram dose now for
6 or 7 weeks
since March, essentially. Yes. And I am trying to quit vaping. And I have been doing less of that, significantly less of that. But I noticed that I'm peckish. I want to snack on, chew on things and sweet things. And then I also know that I am due to start my menstruation this week or next. And generally, my cravings are heightened during that time as well. So I decided I'm going to, for the next 2 weeks, go to a 1 milligram dose to try and counteract the cravings that I'm feeling. They're not as intense as I'm sure they would have been without the medication, which I'm grateful for. But I haven't reached my goal weight yet. And so I want to try and help myself with not having the added issue of this gnawing craving. So I'm going to see how it goes for 2 weeks and then I'll go back down to the 0.5 milligram.
Yeah. Dose. Also at this particular moment with all the public holidays and these weird like school interruptions and all that, I'm sure it's just something that you don't need in your life is to be worrying about food noise and cravings. That's great. I think it's a wonderful divergence of our two paths here, where you might freeform adjust your dose based on what it is you feel you need that week. I think that's also an interesting thing. And I don't think what your GP is going to say is, yeah, cool. You're not going to explode going from 0.5 to 1 when that's like the standard thing anyway.
I know. And I think also that because you've been on 1 and we've spoken through how it's been for you to go up to the 1 milligram dose. And it's not like I'm going beyond the maximum prescribed dosage either. And yeah, so I thought it should be safe enough. I'll see how it goes. I did feel a little bit dizzy today. I don't know if that was just blood sugar because I hadn't had breakfast or my dinner wasn't substantial enough the night before. But yeah, I feel fine. I will say that the cravings, the thing that I wanted to eliminate, has been eliminated. Great. So that tells me that it was the right choice.
One additional note from my last week on 1 milligram is that I could definitely tell it was working. Specifically, I would have a small meal and then drink a glass of water and then I would just feel super full. That's a good strategy. Full, yeah. If you're on 1 milligram and you feel like, is this working? Is this doing a thing? Have half, whatever it is, the meal you've got, have half of that and then drink a glass of water and then you probably won't finish the other half.
Yes.
That's where we are. It's been a great experience so far. We're looking forward to finding out what happens as we continue and as we stop and reporting that to all the listeners. But we did also ask ChatGPT for some kind of self-reflection questions, like a list of things to quick fire go through. Charlene and I are going to give our quick opinions on these questions and answers to them. And that begins now. So I'm going to ask the questions. Charlene's going to give us the answer and then I'll give my answer as well. So first section is personal journey reflection. So Charlene, what surprised you most about your experience with Ozempic, either physically, mentally, or emotionally?
I guess what surprised me most was that even when I was eating bad foods, in inverted commas, if I was having a burger and chips or a pizza or whatever, not consistently, but even when I was having those odd meals, at the end of the week, when I did my weigh in, I would consistently, I'd say 85% of the time, I would consistently still see a drop in weight. That surprised me because I am so used to when you're on a diet, you eat so strictly, and then you eat one wrong thing and it's as though your body holds on to water or inflammation or whatever, and it shows it on the scale. So
on my side, I think I would talk about the Ozempic Diaries community on WhatsApp. The spectrum, the range of responses to different dosages and how some people don't lose any weight for the first 8 weeks and then they do, or they immediately start losing weight or whatever. Like, it's crazy how different everyone's experience is. There's no template as far as I can see. So that was quite a surprise for me.
Yeah.
So what were your expectations at the start and how did reality differ from them?
I guess I remember us having this conversation before we started the recordings, and I was telling you, and I think we both had the same fear, was I was expecting to totally constantly be nauseous, like I was having morning sickness, that, you know, that condition where you get that severe morning sickness throughout your entire pregnancy. I was 100% expecting that. But even when I was feeling nauseous in the beginning, as I started, and then sometimes when I was changing my dosage, it wasn't the nausea I expected. But then having said that, having had some discussions in the community, I have heard, like you said before, how some people are just so severely nauseous. And I guess that was my expectation. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so gnar and I'm going to have to just take these anti-nausea meds constantly. And I'm grateful that it wasn't that for me.
Yeah, I think we both got lucky in our reaction to any kind of side effects and stuff, because it would be a pretty lame podcast if we just logged in and said, can't talk, too sick, going to the toilet now. I think my expectations were, I think about halfway through, I think I was disappointed that I wasn't losing as fast as I hoped and that I was plateauing. But I think that expectation was based on the reportage you get of people who take Ozempic, don't exercise, don't eat enough protein, and basically waste away. Because we've been gymming, because we've been, and then it happens rapidly, because if your body can say, cool, can I eat all this muscle? Rad, I'll do that. I'll eat all that metabolically active muscle and you'll lose a lot of weight, but it's not going to work out for you long term. So that was a nice discovery, or at least maybe it's a post-rationalization, but I think it's accurate to say that we've done this in the way that preserves our muscle mass, and therefore you would lose slower. That's just because muscle weighs more than fat, and you will lose less if you're trying to exclude muscle from the loss.
I think also that we were quite focused on regular, just like our nutrition. And I think that on this medication, it's very easy to just never eat, because, and the less, I think the less you eat, the less you want to eat also on this medication. Because I've noticed on some days where I really didn't have an appetite and I slacked a little bit in not being diligent with having the right amount of meals. On those days, I wouldn't feel hungry. But when I ate, on the days that I did eat, even if I wasn't hungry, I was like, okay, I'm having my breakfast. Okay, I'm having a snack. Okay, I'm having my protein shake. I almost felt better. The extreme lack of appetite was not there. The less you eat, I just used to get like dry mouth and just feel, because your stomach's actually empty and your blood sugar's dipping. And so I think the less you eat, the less you want to eat. And that's why your body just goes, I got to eat something. I got to use something for energy.
Yeah, I'll use the brain power and the whole body. Yeah, I think, as you say, if you don't eat, I think your body goes into, okay, cool, we're fasting now. And once you get past that first hungry moments where you need a meal, then some, I've done 2-day fasts before, which you go and get into a weird zen space after a day or so where you just feel like some kind of mystic who needs no nourishment. And then a few hours later, you go, no, I was wrong. I do need.
I was wrong.
Next question. Was there a particular moment when you felt a major shift, either positive or challenging, during the journey?
I think there's two for me. When I went up to the 0.5 dose, I did feel quite shit, like side effect wise. And I was like, oh God, I hope that this is not going to carry on like this. But so that was a noticeable moment for me. And then the other thing that stands out for me is when I broke, and I think this is probably just a mental thing, when I broke the 80 kilogram mark on the scale, I just started feeling like I was on a good, like I had, there was this rhythm and it was just working for me and my clothes were starting to fit and it made me much more positive and I felt, okay, I don't have to obsess about this anymore. I just got to trust the process. Just keep doing the things that you're doing and the weight's going to come off. So I don't have to worry so much about, oh, am I going to hit my goal? Am I going to hit my goal? I just have to wake up in the morning, consume my water, make sure I have my meals and try to get to the gym and not think about it anymore. So that was my
answer is the same as yours, actually. I think when I broke 90, especially knowing that we were coming to the end of the first season and that I was going to taper off, I was like, cool, this is working and it will keep working as long as I keep doing the thing. And now it's really a case of, can I keep doing the thing once I taper off? And we'll find out, but I feel positive about it. Challenges and lessons. What was harder than you expected and how did you overcome those challenges or how are you still working through them?
I wasn't prepared for how hard it would be to eat. That is a problem I've never had in my life. I've never experienced anything like it, like having to eat. It's time to eat, Charlene. What are you going to eat? And then I'm like, I don't really feel like anything. Like, you know, but you just have absolutely no desire for anything. Like, I could look at pizza, burgers, chips. Food just became this thing that just goes into your body because you have to sustain your body. That was something that was harder than I expected. My whole life, I've always wanted to not have the problem of, I was saying on the weekend to someone that the only problem I've ever had is to focus on not eating something. It's completely reversed this whole thing around for me. And it's a wonderful problem for me to have because I've always struggled with it. So that was hard. I didn't think that it would be so hard to get the meals in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally. For myself, I think plateauing was hard psychologically. I think at one point I plateaued for 3 to 4 weeks and that was made me pretty bleak. But yeah, it was good to just knuckle down and bear through it because, as I said, there's no set time scale. Your body's trying all kinds of things that you do know about and things that you don't know about. Maybe it's hanging on to water. Maybe it's hanging on to fat. Maybe there's lots of stuff going on. It's a complex process. So you can't really say, oh, no, I'm definitely going to lose a kilo this week or there's going to be a break point at some point. But yeah, I got through that. If you could go back and give yourself advice 3 months ago, what would you say?
I'd probably just try and remind myself to just trust the process because you, in the back of my mind, I know I take the medication, so that's supposed to help and you trust that it's going to help. But I was still very doubtful. Like I didn't have the confidence that I needed. I feel more confident now. Like you're saying, I'm going to taper off and I'm confident that I can keep going with these new habits that I've learned. And I feel like I spent a big portion of these 3 months obsessing so much about, shit, am I going to fail? I was very worried about not losing the weight in a healthy manner. I felt like I would be doing more damage than good. And I think if I could go back, I would just tell myself that if you're cognizant of what your body needs and you put only what your body needs into it, you're going to be okay. Stop obsessing. Stop feeling guilty that you're using a medication that's helping you lose weight. You might not even need it as much as other people with more weight to lose. Like I was very much in my head about it. And the podcast, I think, really helped to just talk through those things. And then the feedback that we got from the community helped with that as well. And if I could go back, I would just be like, Charlene, just stick to your guns. Just do what you need to do. You know what is good for your body. Just put into your body what it needs and trust the process.
Cool. For myself, if I could go back 3 months and give myself advice, it would be get a Stanley mug and sleep better. I think I've done pretty well on nutrition and exercise, but I'm still not too great on water, and I'm still averaging like 6.5-7 hours of sleep as Charlene drinks from her massive bright pink mug. I actually had to look around for them for some dupes in Woolworths and all that, but I haven't found any yet. I think they do say the four horsemen are nutrition, exercise, hydration, and rest. So two of those I think I could have optimized better. What new insights about yourself beyond weight loss or medication effects have you uncovered? Deep question.
Every time I have a meal and I'm about halfway through it, I realize that I am actually full. And if I think back on how I used to eat before the medication, I guess my biggest issue is just portion control. I've learned that I was not aware of what portion size is required for me to feel full and comfortable. So I think going into the next phase, or when I do hit my goal weight, I'm going to try and just imprint into my mind, if you have a bowl of pasta, this is how much you need. Remember, this is all you need. And exactly like you said, have some water. And it seems like such a basic thing. This is what dietitians tell people all the time. And you read this everywhere. But I would never have gotten to this point without the medication, because it just becomes more glaringly obvious while you're eating, because you start feeling that fullness in your tummy. Well, that's certainly how it was for me. And I was like, okay, if I take one more bite, I'm going to feel sick. I used to eat, everybody's had a massive Sunday lunch or Christmas lunch or whatever, and then you feel like, oh, I ate too much. But that feeling generally only comes a bit later. That was the one thing that I guess I learned about myself, is I've become more aware of the portion sizes that are sufficient for me. And then the other thing I think is also to just, it's easy to say so now because I'm taking a medication that regardless of what I eat or whether I exercise or not, the weight's still coming off. But I need to, I guess what happened for me was I realized I need to just not obsess so much about my weight. Because every time I, historically, every time I do something wrong, or I decide, oh, today I feel like pizza and I have a slice of pizza, or I feel like chocolate and I have a chocolate, this immense guilt just washes over me. Oh, now I've gone and messed it up and did it. And I think this experience or this experiment has, it's been very freeing for me because I haven't had to feel that way. And I feel like when I go back to regular life, when I do taper off or I stop using this medication, that's one of the things I want to keep reminding myself of, because life is worth living, and it's what you do 80% of the time. It's the 80-20 rule. So I guess that's that.
Yeah. I'm with you on all of those points. The reduction in addiction to alcohol and sugary things has also been very surprising. I haven't had a drink. I haven't had any chocolate since the beginning of the year, basically, and I feel fine about it. It'll be interesting to see what happens when we taper off there. But as you say, life is for living. And I think as long as you're seeing a downward or even a stable trajectory, you don't necessarily have to stress about letting go of that guilt. It is a positive thing. But on the other side of new insights about myself, I think we both learned that whatever pop culture is telling us about body positivity, no matter what size or shape you are, it's good and you must accept yourself. It's actually about, you have to become a higher being. There's so much stuff built into our culture and our genetics. We're kids of the 80s. So we went through 20, 30 years of inculcation with Kate Moss and Cocaine Chic and sports celebrities and all that stuff before we got to the woke movement of everything is normal, everything is fine, everything's on a spectrum, accept everyone for who they are. I intellectually agree with that, but I'm not going to be able to disentangle myself from the preconceptions I have about weight, health, all that kind of stuff. And I just feel better about myself when I weigh less. And that's just something that I got to accept.
And realistically, to that point, and I see a lot of it now on social media as well, where every people are saying like, oh, this body positivity movement is actually just BS because everyone's going after Ozempic. So if being any size is acceptable and we should be body positive, then why is everyone on Ozempic? Exactly. But there's a lot more depth to it because it is... it's not just about the weight. It's about a better life.
Yeah, exactly. A more active, more
because
fun.
Because with carrying extra weight comes other health concerns.
I've been carrying my son around on my back like a backpack and he weighs 15 kilograms for the last 2 days. And if I had the extra 13 kilograms since the beginning of the year that I've lost, I would never be able to do that. I wouldn't be surfing with my son. I wouldn't fit into my wetsuit. I wouldn't have taken the step to go and grab my surfboard out of storage. None of that awesome family time on the beach would be happening. And that's entirely possible because of my own hangups. Yes, it could have happened if I didn't have all these issues, but I'll take that and I'll take the weight loss and keep the issues in this case. Okay. So let's crack on. Community and connection. How is doing this podcast and sharing it publicly shaped your experience?
I was apprehensive in the beginning. I was nervous about how it was going to be received, but there's been very little negative response to what we've put out, which I was very grateful for. I was surprised by that. There was like one or two trolls who commented on socials at one point, but for the most part, in the community and even amongst my friends, and it's been received very positively, and it has been very reassuring for me because there was a certain amount of, I guess, a little bit of guilt and apprehension where I felt like, oh my gosh, am I just like taking the easy way out or am I just lazy or whatever? But in doing this process, I've learned so much about, I think, the Oprah Winfrey video that we discussed a couple of episodes back. It was eye-opening for me because I've learned so much about myself and how these hormones in your brain can just decide for you. And I've let go of a lot of guilt and self-deprecation that I used to hold on to about, Charlene, you're just not disciplined enough, just get a grip. So I think that talking through these things because of this experiment has helped me a lot with self-acceptance from a mindset perspective.
I agree. And in the community, we've heard so many stories of people like, the tone I get out of the posts that people have been sending is that people struggle with being obese. They're not happy. They don't feel good. They have medical issues in some cases, or they certainly have emotional issues. And for those who have a slow start, that gives them anxiety as well, because they're like, when is this going to start working? And then you see the posts from people who have done, it took a while to kick in, but then I've lost a lot of weight since then and I feel a lot happier. And most people, it's a little bit like breast augmentation, like getting a boob job, which is reportedly the most positive elective surgery you can have. Like women who have it done are universally happy with it because it has all kinds of like weird social effects. Like losing weight, it does seem to have, first of all, definitely has positive health benefits, but also has positive social and personal benefits. And I think just seeing the community share their experiences, I think that we need to let go of the stigma, and people on the group are talking about what they're doing and they're sharing their stories, and they're doing it, I think, with a certain sense of like they're being brave about it. It's not easy to go and like message a bunch of random strangers about what you're doing and ask questions and how are you feeling and this is how I'm feeling and I'm scared and I'm worried and all that kind of thing. But I think that they're being very brave for taking the step and for stepping outside of the social stigma and going, I need to do this for myself. And it's made it very clear that being fat isn't a choice. Like no one is going, you know what, I'd love to just eat all the time and feel terrible.
And I have to just also commend our listeners who are in the WhatsApp community, because it's such a safe space. Any conversation that's ever happening is, there's no judgment. Mm. It's just, we're all sitting at this table, come together. Everybody's always keen to help and share advice and supportive of each other's milestones. Yeah. And it's really, I'm so happy to be a part of it and to be able to see people just support each other in that way.
And also for those who have made offhand or intentional comments to the tune of the podcast is helping them and helping them be informed and helping them feel supported and, you know, that they're together with someone on this journey. Thank you for that, because it really warms my heart. And Charlene and I do put a lot of work into it. So we really do appreciate that positive feedback. So yeah, thanks for being a part of the journey. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. Looking forward then, we are going to be, Charlene's going to carry on 0.5. I'm going to be tapering off. I've taken 0.5 this week. And then we're going to get, tell us about the insulin syringes, Charlene.
Okay, so I found this video on social media. A woman posted that the clicker on the back of her pen doesn't click anymore, but the release button that injects the liquid doesn't work anymore because she's come to the end of her pen, but there's still some liquid left in the window. And so she has this hack where you take a little insulin needle and you put it into the front of the pen. Yes, there's a little mesh, looks like a little mesh membrane. So instead of putting your needle that comes with the pen on there, you leave it without the needle. And then you, as you would put an insulin needle into one of those little bottles, those vials that you draw from, you put it into the front of your pen by that little mesh self-seal thing, and you can draw out the last of the liquid from the pen. If there's any liquid left, at least that doesn't have to go to waste. And then you just check what milliliters are in the syringe, and if it's not a full dose, then you use your next pen and just click the number of clicks to get to the full dose. Right.
So there's a little hack. I think I'll share a video on our Instagram of me doing it when I get there, but we're not quite there yet. But yeah, this is South Africa, so we don't waste. We're going to use every drop there. We need our value. When you're paying a lot of money, we're very value-centric. Cool. Thanks for following along for season one. We will be back in 2 weeks with a report and keep this thing going. So look forward to that. Yeah, and good luck in the coming week and the remaining school holidays, Charlene.
Thanks, and to you too. And good luck with that. Has your food noise returned since you tapered? You didn't really have food noise, but are you like feeling more hungry, or is it just still the same now that you're tapering off?
Since I'm still on a half and I've just been on one, I feel like it hasn't run its course out of my body yet. So I haven't noticed any difference yet.
Oh, yeah, you did say.
So I haven't noticed any difference. But in 2 weeks, well, I might come back here like a ravening, rabid monster. Yeah,
oh, my gosh. Ravenous monster. Yes, yeah. Okay, good luck with the tapering. And then I am going to just stick to the same old this side. I'm getting into the gym. I did some deadlifts yesterday. Nice. So yeah, we'll just keep on keeping on.
Good luck.